Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. It's Friday morning, as you heard Kim say earlier. Glad you're here with us the 19th day of April. Feels like we've moved back into March temporarily because it's 47 degrees outside this morning. A little bit of a shock. There's some blue skies, but I think the high is only supposed to hit maybe 60 today.
Yeah, I think it's like low 60s.
Yeah. So that'll be nice. I'm going to that outdoor fundraising event for my friend Keith Hauser. It's a trap shooting event out in St. Charles today. It'll be midday. It's going to be, you know, sunny and pretty out there.
I think we're on the cool side. We're ready for some sun after yesterday. I feel sad for all the people who had trees topple down. And I mentioned Brookdale Farms had part of the roof ripped off. A wedding party, I believe, was there at the time when this happened.
Wow.
I can imagine that was scary.
Well, we had our bourbon event last night, and a lot of people braved the weather and got there in the middle of a driving wind rainstorm and came in and said, hey, there are tornadoes in South County right now. And we hadn't heard the alarms or anything in there. So
yeah.
Good thing it didn't hit Clayton, I guess.
It was a great event. It was nice to meet so many people who said that they've been listening to 97.1 for years. They listen every morning. A lot of them said they're on the road a lot, so they have on, you know, Mark Cox Morning Show and then Annie's show and Mark Reardon. And it's neat to meet all of those listeners.
Yeah, it was really great. Lots of great folks who showed up. So thank you for that. We'll do it again. Maybe in the fall, we'll try to get one scheduled again if you couldn't make it this time. And hopefully we'll have better weather next time as well. Lots going on overnight. So Israel struck back at Iran, didn't give them a heads up, apparently didn't target the nuclear facilities in Iran, although I think the message was we could have if we'd wanted to. And now everybody is hoping this thing is going to kind of de-escalate. And we're going to get to more on that for you here coming up in just a minute. I got Jim Carafano from Heritage at about 7:20. First, I want to get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Are you ready to choose freedom over democracy? Because that's America.
Yes.
I think once before, didn't he famously say, we choose truth over democracy? Didn't he say that in a debate one time? Joe Biden is cooked, folks. That's just the case.
What appears to be Israeli strikes inside Iran have taken place, but I am told that they are, quote, limited in nature.
That is Jennifer Griffin talking about what happened last night. Apparently... The U.S. won't say whether or not it knew what was coming, but they will say that they weren't involved.
Can you share your opinion of the former president?
I'm not a fan. It's very difficult for anyone really in this country to not come to this with prior opinions.
Not a fan. That was one of the jurors who's no longer a juror. They apparently have now seated a trial in the a jury in the Donald Trump trial in New York.
This country is devolving into a third world country between having no borders, having no justice. We have no justice, and having a press that doesn't want to cover the facts. So thank you very much.
Yep. There's President Trump yesterday. They're commenting outside of the courtroom, as he will continue to do every single day. And you know what they were most critical of him for yesterday, Kim? Because he came out and he complained about how unbelievably cold it is in the courtroom. I mean, the late night talk show host had a ball with him last night because that's what his complaint was. It's too cold in the courtroom.
That is kind of a laughable complaint to have.
I mean, I guess you could dress more warmly the next day. But
we obviously know this is such a joke that he's even on trial, but of all things to complain about, I think he's just so irritated with this whole thing, which is completely understandable.
Yeah, I think he's done. Meanwhile, Joe Biden's doing visits to restaurants where nobody shows up to see him, trying to match what Trump happened to Trump at Chick-fil-A the other day. So this is, again, part of what the president was talking about yesterday, just specifically that dismissed jury you just heard from.
We were shocked and frozen. And, you know, it's a big case. It's a historical thing, right? So it's you know, it's very important. I mean, it's very important. Like, our role was very important there as jurors.
Yeah, that was another one of the dismissed jurors who was talking about what happened yesterday. Here is, and you know Bill Barr is no fan of Donald Trump. Here was the former attorney general, though, talking about the current trial that's going on being conducted by Alvin Bragg. It could get underway as early as Monday. If they can seat six alternate jurors today, then this trial will get underway on Monday.
This case is an abomination. You know, it's obviously political. 7 years after he pays hush money to try to come up with this case.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about it. It wouldn't have been brought federally. It wouldn't have been brought by the previous district attorney. And here we are having to face Donald Trump day after day after day. He's going to do what Donald Trump does. And Alex Wagner, one of the reporters for CNN, I tried to play part of this bite earlier, is talking about blaming Trump for being the problem here, not the criminal justice system that would bring forward charges that nobody else has ever been charged with before. The statute of limitations has even run out on the original charge, so they had to tie it in knots to even bring the case. She's now claiming that he's putting the lives of the jury, most of whom will write books and do get large media bonuses, he's putting the lives of the jury at risk.
But Trump and conservative media are already setting the stage to blame the jury if Trump is found guilty. Just like they do with elections, the narrative here cannot be, it cannot be, that Donald Trump lost because of who he is or what he's done. The narrative has to be that the whole thing was rigged. And that brings us to the most pressing part of all of this, the safety of the jurors. By painting the jury as rigged, Trump and the conservative media are putting a target on the backs of these normal people, literally people just showing up for jury duty. At this point, that is part of a very clear pattern.
I mean, I'll be honest, it would be a little bit nerve-wracking to sit on that trial because no matter what happens, you will be chewed out.
Well,
absolutely.
You might be.
People are so cruel on social media. People send death threats over like a bag of Cheetos these days if it's not to their standards.
Yeah, yeah. I would not disagree with that, that there's going to be a lot of pressure on them because social media trolls, as we've seen on this show so many times, they are extraordinarily caustic and brave when nobody knows who they are.
Yeah, keyboard warriors.
It gives them that keyboard warrior. They're protected. They can say what they want, and they never have to give up their identity. I would point out, though, when is the last time you know of that a juror, for that matter, was physically accosted over a high-profile trial? They may not like the words that are said about them, but all of them in some way will benefit from being on this jury. They'll be famous afterwards.
Yeah, I agree. There's going to be financial gain.
And some of them are seeking that, right?
Yeah, I agree. And in reading about the makeup of this jury, the where they get their news from, what their jobs are, where they're from, is very interesting.
And you read all of that, what, on a CNN report, right?
I hate to say it. Props to CNN. It's a very, very easy to read way of explaining the jury makeup.
Yeah, and I did hear somebody on the Gordon Deal show this morning saying, well, normally the names of jurors are exposed, but no, they're not. I've never covered a trial where you've been allowed to tell the name of a jury in advance.
No.
It's juror 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever their number is assigned to them.
Yes, and it's not like you show them on camera.
Right, right, true. Coming up, Jim Carafano, of course, he's a foreign policy expert from Heritage, want his thoughts on this attack on Iran overnight. We'll be back.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
And I think what they sought to do and they accomplished was to show that they can penetrate Iranian air defenses. We'll know a bit more here over the next 24, 48 hours as battle damage assessments come out. But I, for one, believe that we're now in a 90% probability that this will settle down, go back into the shadows.
You know, I was born in the South. South Bronx.
All right, we've got Jim Carafano with us this morning from somewhere in Spain. Am I correct about that, Jim?
Jefe, ¿cómo está?
Yeah, ¿cómo está?
I'm in Madrid, which is really one of the world's most beautiful cities. It is, if you're going to go somewhere in the world, go to Madrid. It's beautiful. It's the people are amazing. You know, at 2 o'clock in the morning, everybody's alive. It's unbelievable. It's just
wow.
A great city.
Yeah, it's on my bucket list. I do want to visit there at some point. That was Admiral James Stavridis. Did I say his name right?
Stavridis.
Yep. Talking about what happened in Israel last night, or in Iran, Israel firing rockets into one of their cities, at least one that we know of. What's your take on that, Jim?
A bold, gutsy move I did not expect. It is interesting that they went into Iran because very clearly what they were doing was sending a message. And you know what? Your air defense is not our air defense.
Yes.
And you know, we can do tit for tat, but you might not come out well on this. I don't know, but it sounds like some of these targets may have actually been not missiles or drones, but manned aircraft. I don't know that for a fact, but if you're the Iranians, it's like, dude, you just got like mic dropped. And so the question for the Iranians is, what do you do now? Look, this is the way it works in the Middle East. People are respected because they're powerful. And we think it's like, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you be conciliatory or proportional or something? And that's not the way it works. It's you demonstrate somebody that you can hold the sword of Damocles over their head. And that's what gets their attention.
Just let me backtrack here real quick, Kim. I'm sorry
to
interrupt.
Good.
Do I understand you correctly? I mean, that you think Israel flew manned aircraft into Iran and bombed this thing and left without the Iranians being able to engage them? That's like Chris Rock on stage getting jack slapped. They must be stunned.
Well, they do have F-35s. And the F-35 can do that. So I don't know for a fact because, you know, we got a lot of sketchy stuff. You know, at first it wasn't even clear they attacked targets in Iran. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see.
Wow.
But I clearly what the Iranians were trying to do is to demonstrate that, dude, I can really hurt you.
The Israelis, you mean.
And this is the problem is, you know, people keep saying, oh, my God, World War III. But the problem is Israel and Iran cannot fight a decisive war with each other because there's countries in the middle. All they can do is lob stuff at each other. And that's very inconclusive. And so the question is, how far do you want to take that? And the Iranian thing is the one thing they want is not to not look weak. So they fire a bunch of missiles, and then they hope, you know, that since they didn't kill anything, everybody will just leave them alone, and they can say, look, you know, look how tough we are. Now, essentially, they got shamed. And the question is, what do you do? Because if you punch back, what happens if the Israelis come back and do something even worse?
Yes.
So they put it back in Iran's hands. And the thing is, these guys have lots of ways to touch each other. They can get Hezbollah to attack them. You know, they can do something with Hamas, kill some hostages. I do think this is going to lead to an escalation, all out war. I am sympathetic with that. That's probably not realistic.
I mean, does Iran give another heads up? We're going to strike back. Here's your 48-hour notice.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be stupid, right?
Yeah, I don't even get why they did that in the first place. I certainly can't see him doing it again now.
Right. I don't know. You know, look, the only thing the Iranian regime cares about is the stability of the Iranian regime.
Yes.
So they want to look tough and bold, but they also don't want to look weak, right? So now they're kind of in a quandary. So we'll see what they'll do. But, I mean, clearly it's, you know, it's Iran's turn now, and we'll see what they do. I did not expect this, one, because there are lots of divisions within the Israeli government about this, but also because Iran is the problem. There's no question about that. But the problem in front of Israel at this point is Hamas, and they've got to destroy Hamas that before they do anything else. And this distracts from that. But maybe the Israeli thinking is as well, this will get the Iranians off our back, and we can go back to focusing on the destruction of Hamas. And the Americans really can't do anything about it. What the Israelis have demonstrated here, which is perhaps useful to them, is they're relatively immune to international criticism.
Yes. Unlike
and
the U.S.
So this notion, right, exactly.
Yeah.
And so the Iranians and the Islamists, they've invested literally hundreds of million dollars in building these global networks to demonize Israel, right, as a way to kind of weaken and Israel and turn public opinion against them. But in the end, it didn't matter because that no Israeli government is going to back off from defending the people of Israel.
Yeah.
No matter how ugly the criticism is.
The American doctrine used to be mad. These days it's don't. That doesn't seem to be working too well, Jim. No.
You know, Biden has been the bystander in chief in foreign policy since almost day one.
Boy.
And when he acts, he only makes things worse.
Yep.
So, Jim, I mean, it's such an embarrassment for the U.S.
Got to run, buddy. Thank you. Have fun in Spain. Well, Kim and I have both experienced it. I know other people have told me they've seen these abortion initiative petition, signature collection people who are being paid hourly to stand around and try to lure people into signing some petition. And there's been an effort on the part of the Missouri Right to Life folks called Decline to Sign, where they give you 10 good reasons why you shouldn't be signing this thing. And the Post-Dispatch chose to attack that effort the other day. Like, how dare they suggest people not sign on to this abortion petition? It's really silly season, but you expect that kind of stuff out of the Post-disgrace these days. We have Senator Bob Onder, former Senator Onder, on the phone right now. Of course, is running for Congressional District 3 as well. Bob, welcome back.
Good morning, Mark. Great to be back.
You know, I take it as a little bit of a badge of honor that you and I have spent a lot of time in the paragraphs of the Post-Dispatch lately, not the least of which for the school board elections recently.
Well, yes, we have been in the Post-Dispatch. And, the editorial board of the Post-Dispatch are not fans of ours, Mark.
I get that impression. I really don't know why.
I don't know.
Let's talk about this criticism they've got of the Decline to Sign effort.
Yeah, Mark, as you know, a couple of days ago, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch carried a lengthy, I would call it a hit piece, against the Decline to Sign effort. And, the deal is, of course, that out-of-state progressive billionaires are spending many millions of dollars with these paid signature gatherers you mentioned, trying to get abortion into our Constitution, first by paying these signature gatherers to use deceptive language to fool Missouri voters into creating a really unlimited right to abortion without parental consent laws, without health and safety regulations. And they're down. They're getting desperate. They're down to fewer than 3 weeks left to gather their signatures. May 5th is the deadline. They are short of signatures, including here in the St. Louis metro area, Congressional District 3, the place where I'm running for Congress, is one place they're short on signatures. And the Post-Dispatch purported to refute all of our arguments against passing this radical abortion amendment. And, you know, I would just point out to the fact that the amendment says that, quote, any denial, interference, delay, or restriction of the right to reproductive freedom shall be presumed invalid. Well, what are health and safety regs other than a restriction or an interference, if you will? What are parental notification or consent laws other than a restriction? And what are bans on partial birth abortion or public funding for abortion other than a, quote, restriction? And we know that the radical abortion left will go to court and will try to strike down all of our pro-life laws on that basis. So, I think the decline to sign effort and what Missouri Right to Life is saying about this radical abortion petition is 100% correct. Post-Dispatch to the contrary.
I so appreciate you putting that information out about, hey, if you accidentally signed it, I don't know, they tricked you with language or whatever the case may be, here's where you go to get your name off this petition. Because when I've been approached by these people, they are really slick and they're spreading misinformation. And if you don't know your facts, which quite frankly, a lot of people don't when it comes to this topic, they can fool you. They'll tell you
you can't get
care for a miscarriage, for example.
Yeah, exactly, Kim. Let's not gild the lily with this misinformation word that's so overused these days. They're lying.
Yeah.
They're lying. Pro-life obstetricians, gynecologists have taken care of miscarriages for hundreds of years. Doctors who would never do abortions, they all know how to take care of miscarriages. And in Missouri, since we became a fully pro-life state, doctors continue to take care of miscarriages. When they say that in some way the new law, the heartbeat bill, will interfere with your right to get your miscarriage taken care of, they're just lying. They're just making that up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I got you on here, Bob. I wanted to mention, I think since the last time we talked, since the school board elections anyway, Wentzville has now fired, gotten rid of, accepted the termination of their superintendent. And all the headlines are, well, this is going to cost them $1 million. How in the world did this happen?
Yeah, well, it goes back, Mark, of course, to the fact that we have three very good, courageous school board members in the Wentzville School District who called out the fact that the superintendent and the staff and the board, the rest of the board members, were moving toward allowing boys and girls restrooms and shower rooms with a new transgender policy. And not only were they doing that, they were doing it behind closed doors in violation of the Sunshine Law.
Right.
So, Attorney General Bailey back in September filed a Sunshine Law lawsuit. And then Danielle Tormala, this woke superintendent, proceeded with a campaign of retaliation and intimidation against the three courageous school board members, to the point that Attorney General Bailey had to send on February 22nd a cease and desist letter to stop retaliating against the whistleblowers and intimidating witnesses. But Tormala kept doing it. She threatened to sue the board members personally. She filed frivolous complaints against the board members. Finally, essentially, she extorted that $1 million settlement out of the district. I think it's very little short of extortion. She engaged in behavior that, you know, any at-will employee would have been fired for cause long, long ago. The problem is she had a contract, so rather than go through expensive litigation, the district settled with her. But I really believe her so-called settlement with the district was little short of extortion.
Yeah.
She needed to be fired for cause.
And importantly, they now have an opportunity to do a real search for somebody who's going to listen to the parents in that district. I hope that's what happens next.
That's right. And they need shorter term contracts. I think, unfortunately, yes. People tell the board what they like to hear, and then they get in and they think they own the place. They think the board members work for them. No, the superintendent works for the board, and the board works for the people and the children of the school district, not the other way around.
So, Bob, I got about a minute left here. You want to be in Congress. What would you be doing if you were in the House right now? They're trying to get rid of Mike Johnson.
Yeah, look, I don't think it's a good precedent. Love or hate Kevin McCarthy, love or hate Mike Johnson, I don't think it's a good precedent for a small handful of Republicans to join with all the Democrats to unseat a sitting Republican Speaker of the House. I don't think that's a good idea. But I do think the House needs to be more muscular about putting forward a House position, a Republican position on these spending issues, and then negotiate with Chuck Schumer, not pass out a bill that Chuck Schumer likes and then Joe Biden will eagerly sign.
Right. Where can people go to find out more about your campaign?
Yeah, BobAndermo.com is my website, and at BobAndermo on Twitter and Facebook.
Dr. Bob, always great to get you on. Thank you.
It's great to be back. Thank you, Mark.
All right. See you soon. We'll always appreciate spending a few minutes with him. And I think he's spot on there on what's going on up in D.C. for sure. Coming up, we're going to revisit the story we talked about yesterday with the supposed dog poop brownies that were delivered to legislators before the vote on the school board issue, which passed the House, by the way. We'll talk to Adam Schwadron about all this coming up about 8:20. Stay tuned.
And dare I say something that Mike will probably be termed the most uncomfortable thing that I've ever had to articulate out of my mouth from a political perspective. But I got to tell you something. As much as people may have been abhorred by Donald Trump's statement weeks ago, talking about how black folks, he's hearing that black folks find him relatable because what he's going through is similar to what black Americans have gone through. He wasn't lying. He was telling the truth.
Yeah, Stephen A. Smith there. The guy's kind of controversial sometimes, and I haven't agreed with everything he's said over the years, but he was pointing out that people got mad at him when he defended Trump for saying that there were some shared experiences there between how he's being persecuted and how he feels that black people have been persecuted. Smith agrees, particularly on issues that are important to people right now. He kind of explained himself here. Like, for example, obviously the justice system, but he says the issues in this election are bigger than that. And I wanted you to hear his thoughts on it. Listen.
When you talk about the economy, to black folks, that means money. To everybody, it means money, especially to us, okay, who are no longer the dominant minority in this country. Those are the Latinos. When we talk about the economy, we're not talking about, the state of affairs economically or even the job participation rate. We're talking about the money that you keep in your pocket. When you go to the gas station and it's exorbitant prices, when you go to the supermarket and milk and bread and cheese and all of this other stuff is exorbitantly high compared to what it once was, that is a red flag to a lot of folks because the money you keep in your pocket is what tells you whether or not the economy is flourishing or not.
I think most people truly would have to admit that the economy was better under Trump, but they still will not vote for him because they just detest him that much.
Yes. Yeah, I think it's true. I think that so what this trial has shown us is that Donald Trump is limited to where he can campaign right now, right? He's in that trial from early in the morning to late in the afternoon. He's going somewhere around New York. He's been to the Bronx. He's been to some other places like that. If you know those areas, you would think that traditionally those would not be Republican strongholds. And the cameras who are there with him will pick up people coming up asking to get pictures with him, people who are often in minority groups not associated with Republican voters. Hispanic and black voters are walking up to him saying, I love Trump. Can I get a picture with you and all this stuff? In New York, that's not going to matter. He's not going to win New York State because there are too many crazy lefties there. But it's an example of the fact that the mainstream media would lead you to believe he doesn't represent those people, those demographic groups. But the reality is when you look at the polling, he's on track right now to get a larger percentage of black and Hispanic votes than ever before. And that's driving the left nuts. They can't stand it. They don't know what to do about it. But but they can't stand it. So just a little longer bite there from Stephen Smith. Listen.
And dare I say something that Mike will probably be termed the most uncomfortable thing that I've ever had to articulate out of my mouth from a political perspective. But I got to tell you something. As much as people may have been abhorred by Donald Trump's statement weeks ago, talking about how black folks, he's hearing that black folks find him relatable because what he's going through is similar to what black Americans have gone through. He wasn't lying. He was telling the truth.
Stephen A. Smith. What is he on with Hannity, Carl? Is that where that bite came from?
That's correct.
Yeah, I thought he was on with Sean Hannity last night in case you missed that. All right. Still ahead, we'll talk to State Representative Adam Schwadron. He was in on that vote yesterday on the education bill. He's got a thing or two to say about the dog poop brownies, which didn't really have any dog poop in them, which got delivered to legislators yesterday.
Get more at 971talk.com. Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.